This episode of Guardians of the Geekery is brought to you by the Fan Up Network.
Warning. The following presentation is for mature audiences only. It is not intended for children, the oversensitive, or self-righteous gas bags with sticks up their butts.
This project is extremely dangerous.
It's because I blew it out of the goddamn airlock.
You're listening to the Guardians of the Geekery podcast, featuring Matt Starnslord, Carol the Cat, the Giddy Geeker, and Tiffany the Technician.
People assume that time is a strict progression of cause to effect, but actually, from a non-linear, non-subjective viewpoint, it's more like a big ball of wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff.
And now, damn right they shot first, the hosts of Guardians of the Geekery.
Guardians of the Geekery, episode 37.
Woo! I feel weird not pushing the button for the...
Oh.
You always push my buttons, babe. But before we go into anything else, we're going to go right into the rapid-fire response round with our two guests. Special secret guests that I haven't even allowed to be announced yet. No, Lisa and Tiffany are here this week, and it's Tiffany, not Tiffle. So here we go. I'm going to ask you a series of questions where you can answer with a short phrase or word. If you wait too long, we will answer for you. You don't want us to do that. No. All right, so Lucy, would you rather be stuck in a box with rats, spiders, or snakes?
Rats.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Tiffany, favorite cuss words?
Shit.
Okay. Lucy, first comic book you read?
Peanuts comic book, actually.
Well, there you go. And
I totally heard penis comic book.
That was the second one.
Like, wait, we have similar tastes.
You're both this year, but that's all right.
Planes, trains, or automobiles?
Oh, trains.
Favorite Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle?
Oh, I hate all of them.
Iron Man or Captain America?
Iron Man.
All right. What movie are you excited to see?
Well, this is old and behind. I'm going to be Ant-Man.
Oh, yay!
I'm really behind.
Yes, you are. What superpower would you like to have?
I guess just flying would be...
Flying would be good? What TV show would you recommend everyone watch?
Project Runway.
Who is your favorite Superman actor? Do you know who the Superman actor is?
That's the wrong Tiffany, I think. It's her obsession.
You're supposed to say Henry Cavill.
Henry Cavill.
Very good.
Step off my man. I haven't seen
that. Tiffany versus Tiffany. Change back.
Monty Python, Saturday Night Live, Mad TV, In Living Color, or Kids in the Hall?
Kids in the Hall.
Yeah.
All right. And what bad guy would you rather be?
Oh. I can think of what. I'm just so naturally nice that it's just hard.
Harley Quinn it is. Harley okay. Quinn. So you're stuck on a desert island with a solar-powered tablet that you can preload with one of each of the following things. What would you pick? What book would you preload?
It would be a Greatest American Travel Writing, any edition.
Okay, what album?
Fleetwood Mac's Greatest Hits.
Oh. Movie.
Shawshank Redemption.
You are not the first person to say that. And game.
Does it have to be a
solar
game?
Power,
it can be a console game?
Yeah.
It's a Fallout tablet. New Vegas.
Okay. Tiffany, she's so scared. What?
I was going to say water for elephants, but then it makes me want to say Galapagos because I would be on a desert island.
What album would you pick?
Father John Misty's newest, well, no, not his newest one, Fear Fun. He makes me weak in the knees.
Okay. I have to check that out now. Movie.
The only thing that's coming to my head right now is The Breakfast Club, but I really don't think I would want anything to say.
Endgame.
I guess... Gosh, I'm just not good at guessing things.
Candy Crush it is. Yay. You have survived almost the rapid fire response round. So tell us who you are, what the heck you're doing here.
My name is Lucy Wilson. I am in Robot Johnson.
Yay!
I think that's why I'm here.
Yes, you are here. Yeah.
I am Tiffany Apple. I am also in Robot Johnson. And yes.
That is why. And you guys are, well, Robot Johnson is going to be at the Geek Gala. I think you guys are out of town that weekend.
I have to go to a wedding.
I know. This is unfortunate.
Yeah, it is.
Yes. I wish only ill will upon these people. But that's okay.
No.
No.
That's fucking horrible.
I know. It's so bad. See, I'm the evil person you wish you were. So, no, but you also guys did a cool project recently. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, we did a 48-hour film project.
It's not a 48-hour film, right?
Correct. You have 48 hours to make a 7-minute film.
I was like, this is Andy Warhol torture.
Yeah. That would be like Joy's life all over again.
Actually, the way that it went, we probably would have had an easier time making a 48-hour film instead of compacting this down into 7 minutes. We did it, albeit very late. But we did. But we ended up making a 17.5-minute director's cut out of it. And you can find it by going to Facebook and looking up Murder of Fools. And it will have a YouTube link on there to see our movie.
Cool. What was the hardest part about doing the film?
The hardest part about it was...
editing?
The editing was really, really... Yeah, just because you don't realize how long it's going to take. And then it's that panic when you realize you have like 20 minutes. And your film is still 14 minutes long, and you still have to have the drive time to go and drop it off. Wow. I learned a lot of things, though, about organization and structure that you need in place beforehand.
And do they release, like, what do? Do they give you a specific topic you have to...
They do give you a character name that you have to use, and there's a male and female version, but that character has to have whatever occupation they give you. You have a prop that you have to use...
You
have a line that you have to use, which I had trouble remembering that one because we left that out.
The character had to be
the edit that we said.
The character had to be an architect.
Yeah.
And then we drew for what genre?
Yeah, then you have your genre.
Oh. But everyone had a different genre.
We drew one and they didn't like it. I think it was romance. And so then they picked a wild card, which was mockumentary, which is perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, perfect. Nice.
That's what it was.
Well, really cool. So we'll definitely have to check that out. I saw you guys post about your event. I think we were out of town that weekend.
I think we're going to do it again, though. I want to do it again.
That would be awesome. Great, yeah. That would be really awesome. And you'll have to let us know. We'll make a geek meet out of it. So
fantastic.
Yeah. So speaking of geek meets, this Saturday, Geektopia 3. It's going to be Gotham. It's a murder mystery.
Get out your Batman PJs.
Yeah. Really don't have any.
I do.
Do you?
I do.
Yes, you do. I've seen them when we've slept together before. So
there's no video, Matt. Sorry. It'd be very boring.
We actually sleep.
Never mind. Let's get the director's cut of that.
Yeah. Speaking of sleeping, Fear the Walking Dead. Any better?
It's it's progressing. I understand why they made the film, or the show. Film, it's not a film. But none of these characters are really catching my... They're not catching my heart the way the characters in Walking Dead did. So,
I do think the mom is hot, though. I have this weird attraction to her. I don't know why. It's not, and she's not my physical type.
She always gonna slash her tires.
Or anything. No, no. But she's not my physical type at all. And I kind of looked her up, because I was like, I know her from somewhere. And she was on a couple episodes of Lost.
That's where I've seen her.
Yeah, because it was like one of those things you're like, where do I know her from?
Hauntingly familiar, huh?
Yeah.
So is this just like a serious show?
It's like The Walking Dead. It's a serious show.
I feel like the name is like, Fear the Walking Dead just sounds like it would be like a mockumentary
or something.
It's just a lame name.
I don't know
you're
why
supposed
they,
to fear them anyway,
I know.
Yeah.
I don't know why they're, I don't know where they came up with that name. I really don't. I know they wanted to put The Walking Dead in the title because money. And
oh, yeah. Tie them together.
So, you know, I've not seen this at all. Yeah. Let me ask you this question. Is it kind of like the Saved by the Bell, the new class, where it's like, this is the Daryl character? See, like, I act like I know what I'm talking about.
No.
This is the Daryl character. This is the Carol character.
It's not at all.
That part's good.
So.
Yeah, I do like that they don't have mirror images of characters in the show, and they are trying to show what happened in the 30 days that Rick was in a coma on The Walking Dead, because The Walking Dead starts with Rick coming out of a coma
and not showering for a long time. Remember that. Yeah.
This is her big pet peeve of all the things about the show. It's that when he woke up, he didn't immediately take a shower.
Well, there's dead people walking around, so
think about all that. Like, it probably already smelled really bad. Yeah, you probably didn't even notice. Yeah. I'm sure he's not with all the rotting bodies.
You know, this is what I'm thinking.
That was her concern, though.
Not first priority. I'm sorry.
I'm like, there's some fucked up shit happening out there. But I need to investigate it clean.
But yeah, so this is what's happening at the very onset of the zombie outbreak, although they don't call them zombies. But it's just, I don't know, the characters just aren't all that interesting. And they keep focusing on this junkie son. And I don't care.
Like, what did you call him? Junkie Depp?
Junkie Depp, yeah. Because he looks like Johnny Depp, and he's a heroin addict, so he's Junkie Depp. Yeah. It's just, yeah.
Although Johnny Depp doesn't really look like Johnny Depp in his latest film, Ray Bulger. Which is interesting.
Which is not a good movie.
Not Ray Bulger.
It's not. Oh, I mean, Whitey Bulger.
He was fantastic. Johnny Depp was amazing. And the guy who was the FBI agent that played it across from him, he was really, really good. Mm-hmm. But it was just kind of boring, and it had, like, all these amazing actors in there that you're like Benedict Cumberbatch was his brother. Mm. But it's like he plays, like, the most understated role ever, and I'm like, why couldn't this just been random actor so-and-so?
Because then you can't put Benedict Cumberbatch on the poster.
Yeah.
Fair point. Is that like your boring movie?
Like, yeah, Adam Scott was in it, but, like, he wasn't Adam Scott. He wasn't funny, you know?
I heard it was, like, Donnie Brasco white.
Yeah, it just was kind of boring. I mean, he did a great job, but it was just sort of like, is this almost done? I don't care.
I think it's one of those regional movies where you kind of have to...
Know the story
and be from Boston and be like, maybe. Oh, I recognize those places or I remember those things.
I also think it's Johnny Depp's last ditch attempt to get another Oscar nomination.
And the whole time you're like, he's playing Dracula. Like, that's what he looks like. No, he's really good. He really, really is. But,
I really don't have an interest in seeing it. I'm not a huge mafia movie fan. Except I love The Godfather, so...
I have never seen The Godfather.
You've never seen The Godfather?
Get the hell out of here.
I consider myself a movie buff, and yet I'm like embarrassed by this.
Everybody should.
I know.
There's a black and white cat in your backyard.
There's a kitty in my backyard? This does not bode well.
Is it gray? Yours?
We don't have cats.
He's going under the fence now.
Okay.
Oh. He's going home.
Okay. Just as long as it's not. We were a little scared there for a while because the next door neighbor moved out suddenly, and suddenly we had this field, and that's where, like, mice and snakes like to play in tall grass. So let's not do that. So,
yeah. Not enough your kitty. Okay, so Fear the Walking Dead. Fear the show. It's really not all that great.
I think my favorite scene was two shows ago, episodes ago, when they were playing Monopoly.
Yeah.
I was like, that was the most human... It's like with anything. If you just do something that's kind of real, then it was so much better than any of the episodes I've seen. That 5-minute chunk, and I'm like, why?
Why can't you just play
Monopoly one episode. At least you have one good episode. It's the only real thing that really resonated, and they acted well because it seemed so natural.
But yeah, I'll just wait patiently for The Walking Dead to come back.
When will that be?
October 11th.
October 11th.
You are like not being impatient at all that you haven't memorized, right?
Well, I hate the fact that they give us such little tiny seasons and then take it away. It's like, no.
Yeah, but would you rather have one longer, or a relatively short season, I would assume, and wait another, like Game of Thrones style, where you have to wait a year? Or would you rather have it in two chunks?
I'd rather have it in two chunks.
Well, then shut the fuck up.
Give me my show, damn it. Give me my Game of Thrones, too, while you're at it.
Yeah. You should also be looking forward to Robert Kirkman's other great show, Outcast, which is going to be on Cinemax in the spring, which I'm working on, which is my
favorite. Yeah, no, that's cool. Yeah, no, we are looking forward to that.
He said it was going
to
be really good, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, we're definitely looking forward to that. Yeah. So,
speaking of Game of Thrones, Peter Dinklage won an Emmy again.
Yay, Peter Dinklage! And also winning an Emmy was...
Amy Schumer! Yeah. For Inside Amy Schumer.
That's just so a porn name.
Well, yeah, that's
The point. That's pretty much her. Yeah.
Also, John Hamm finally won for Mad Men.
I was so excited and pleased.
I know.
It was so
I would have been okay if he'd won it for, like, Inside Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, because he was hilarious.
He was hilarious in that. I just...
He always brings so funny. He brings so funny. I mean, I know Mad Men.
For Mad Men.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Of course, they waited until the very last season to give it to him.
Poor John.
Speaking of Emmys, Dancing with the Stars?
It didn't win an Emmy.
I'm sure it did. It's been on 20 seasons? Yeah, 10 years? No, so,
21.
Oh, wow.
The Voice won Best Reality.
No, but Dancing with the Stars had their first elimination round last night. You can definitely read all of my opinions on joeywrights.com. But, yeah, so no spoiler alert. You know, put ahead about 90 seconds if you don't want to find out who is eliminated. But
Shaka Khan.
Yeah, Tell Me Something Good did not work for her last night.
No.
You know, it's really unfortunate because it was between her and Gary Busey. They were in the bottom two. And you know that nobody's going to kick off the crazy. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, she had a lot of good things to say. I think she had a really good attitude. But she just lost her way as soon as she started dancing, and it was just obvious and painful. And
I didn't realize those were the contestants. I'm gonna start watching them.
Oh yeah.
Interesting. Some
of them. Yeah, no. Bindi Irwin was definitely the little star of the show. She, you know, she revealed that she loved death and heavy metal, and that she and her dad used to dance around to it before he passed away. And so she danced to AC/DC's "Shook Me All Night Long." Yeah, in a long ball gown. It was awesome. So, she did pretty well. We missed part of it because the TV cameramen were not quite ready for the transition. So all of a sudden you're like looking off stage. And you're like, that's not where she is.
It's real live TV. Yes.
Yeah, it was real, definitely real live TV. Nick Carter slipped and fell. It was. And they kept saying, you're a Backstreet Boy. And I'm like, he's really not anymore. But okay, we'll go with that. But yeah, definitely going to be interesting. They have another episode tonight.
Woo!
And another elimination. Usually they don't do that the second weekend. They don't make them learn two songs so soon. So that seemed kind of cruel. And that could be why some of the mistakes were made last night. But definitely the scary one to watch is Paula Deen. She just frightens me almost as much as Gary Busey. I think that.
More so for me.
Yeah. I really want to know if they have on retainer taser guys on either side for both of them, because they're just. It's not good. You know, when she's wrapping her black stockinged leg around this poor, wonderfully out gay guy, and he's just trying to smile and power through it, you can't stop watching.
And all I can think when I'm watching Paula Deen is, this is Britney Spears in 20 years.
Yes.
I swear to God. She had that, because they have some of the same phrases, and it's really scary, like, oh, you know, y'all. And I'm just like, oh, fucking, hey. That's who I thought of last night, and it really scared me. I was frightened.
Yeah, you know that new movie that's coming out, The Visit, or the one that did just come out?
Yeah, it's
out. Where it's like, go and visit grandma's house. The second half of the show, after she was done dancing, up on the stage where they have the dancers go to talk, you know, with Erin Andrews, she rolled on this margarita cart, and I was just like, don't drink grandma's Kool-Aid, kids! So, it was a little bit scary. Also really scary was Victor Espinoza, who is the jockey.
Oh.
The guy is short. He's had multiple concussions. He won the Triple Crown. He's a jockey. And they did a penis joke with him. They did a short joke with him. They did a Hummer joke with him. It was just bad. They made him wear a sombrero and a Pancho Villa outfit. I mean, racism, stereotypes, everything.
He's from Mexico.
It was just too far.
Pretty bad.
But it was like, they knew he has no dancing skill, and I think Karina Smirnoff was just trying to get every vote, like pity vote that she could get for this guy. They put a magnet in his hat so that it would attach to his big belt buckle, looking like... But he dropped his hat and picked up the other guy's hat, and so there was no magnet, so he kept trying to do that. It was, and I'm motioning towards my crotch as I do that, and it just wasn't working. So that was really sad, and we felt bad for them, didn't we?
We did.
Yes. If you've ever watched Star and Slard watch TV. He talks to the TV and he's like, "Oh no, why are they doing that?" So
I'm already a senior citizen.
Oh, don't say that because I talk to the TV.
Oh, thank God. All right, there's somebody else out there.
But good news, Doctor Who was this week, and yes! Jenna Coleman's leaving the show.
Oh yeah. Yay!
So, although I don't think she left this past week, even though they shot her in the back.
She got exterminated.
Spoilers. She got exterminated.
Oh, it's not like she's not going to be back next week.
Yeah, but it may explain why some of those other people can return, which is part of my theory from before. So
you don't like her?
No, she's not my favorite companion.
I don't think she's a bad companion. I just think her time is done.
Yeah.
And it was done last season.
Yeah. When the Doctor Who's regenerated from the young Matt Smith to the much older Peter Capaldi, she went from viewing... She kind of... Her character was in such a position that she kind of treated the Doctor like a boyfriend. And so now boyfriend is grandpa? Was really awkward.
He's not that old.
Well... For her, I mean, but you
there's
know,
definitely,
I mean,
like, I've only ever, this is my first Doctor Who. I saw this one episode, but there's like a tension there. Like, she's definitely like a little like possessive of him.
Yeah.
Like, that's my man, bitch.
Yeah. And it's just
you
not.
You got his confession dial?
Yeah. Fucker. It's just a little, you know.
And then when they had that Christmas episode and she's old at the end and he's like, "Did you ever get married?" She's like, "No." And. Oh, because Danny Pink was your guy, and she's like, "Well, there was another one."
I really do not like it when they treat the Doctor as a boyfriend.
Yeah, and I don't feel like Peter Capaldi's really old, but the way she was doing it kind of felt like an Anna Nicole moment.
Well, she also looks like she's 16 years old.
That's what I'm saying. She does the short skirts and the tights and the little sweater sets, and it's just inappropriate.
That being said, Peter Capaldi with a guitar on a tank.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely hot.
Definitely hot.
No, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I'm behind. I haven't seen any of this.
Oh, yeah. You just wait till Tank Capaldi comes along.
Oh, yeah.
All right, I'll get back to you.
This is no Priscilla of the Desert.
I was definitely hot.
This is a moment. He had kind of the, Bay City Rollers plaid pant thing going on with the black jacket and the guitar, and the gray hair is longer now, and the eyebrows
got changed.
And
he's actually playing the guitar.
Yeah, because he was in a band in real life. So.
Did they ever have him grow a beard? Is he still beardless?
He's still beardless, yes.
He needs a beard.
He does.
He was scruffy, though.
Okay.
It wasn't quite as...
Yeah, he wasn't quite as clean cut. I will say, I am somewhat tired of the "it's the last day of the Doctor's life" plotline, because this seems to be like the third or fourth time Moffat has used it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, stop. Just, although Missy came back, and I love Missy, so.
Yeah, I thought it was a very, I thought it was a good episode.
Yeah.
I thought it was a really good episode. I saw a couple people say that they didn't care for it and they were over it. And I was like, this is one of the best episodes we've had in a while.
Yeah.
So, you know, definitely worth it.
I could, like, see you dressing like Missy does. Like, that being your thing.
What, the Victorian?
Yeah. Like,
no!
I could see you being darker. Like, I could see you just being like, I'm just going to dress like this because...
If I could get away with that at work, trust me, I would be in Victorian garb and corsets the entire week.
Okay.
But I sit in a desk, so sitting in a
corset. I was
going
to say, like, when you worked at the Renaissance Festival, you didn't want to wear corsets at all.
That's because I had to sit.
Yeah.
Sitting in a corset is painful.
Yeah. Try an underwire bra, it's still the same thing.
What are you now?
I don't know. All I know is when I look down and the wire's sticking out, I'm like, damn, I broke an underwire.
Yeah.
So,
I'm feeling your pain.
Yes. Okay. So, fun stuff. Speaking of wardrobe malfunctions, Project Runway. Are you caught up?
I am not completely caught up.
Oh.
I'm knee deep.
Very interesting season. We're about five episodes in, and definitely Ashley Nell Tipton, which is the purple-haired plus-size gal. My favorite, too. Had an interesting... I was several episodes behind, and one of the infuriating parts of DVR was that I didn't extend it enough at the end of the episode.
Yes.
So like, and then the person being cut is bonk, end of the episode. And I'm like, what?
So is this was this the bikini episode? Was that the last one, or was there one after?
It wasn't bikini, it was lingerie. It was the lace.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Okay, so
I
am
haven't
actually
seen that one.
So that was I think the last one, but they had a group challenge, and it was really interesting because they divided up into teams, and they made the teams boys and girls.
Mm-hmm. Except there was one girl on the boy team.
Yeah. Right. And they left Ashley Nell as the last one. Now, if you know you're doing a team group challenge, wouldn't you want the strongest people on your team?
Talking to the television, had no clue why they were picking all of these other inadequate people that, yeah, you know, all their stitching sucks and they have crappy attitudes. And she was the last person chosen. I couldn't, yeah, believe it. Her skills
and
are
then,
impeccable.
And then one of her teammates comes up and says, by the way, I have heard if they're the losing team, they're going to trash you.
They're going to throw you into the bus. Mm. Yeah, that was ridiculous.
Which was just ridiculous. And then, so here's a girl who's been in the bottom three, Amanda, for three times.
Yeah.
And she has this, like, orange monstrosity of a tent that she stuck this poor tiny little model in. And this is her fashion-forward look.
And that's the uptown blonde girl, right?
Yeah. Okay. That it was her second time attempting to be on the show and, yeah, and all that kind of stuff. And they're like, who do you think should be kicked off? After they've already told her her look is in the bottom. And she's like, Ashley. And then they ask the girl who's the team captain. She's like, Ashley. Mm. I was like,
who had just had a successful team project with Ashley, yeah, where they won.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And then she pulls out, mm, the bitch. But even Heidi admonished them all and told them they were stupid. So that was the best part.
Yeah, it was. You're like, you're an idiot. So
the team challenge, I don't understand why they went with that color, because you could dye the fabric. I know it was supposed to be a stupid paintball. That was the paintball.
I just can't
one.
Believe that they, like, dyed it all without a thought.
Yeah.
The guy's fabric was amazingly, yeah, beautiful. And I was,
and
like,
they actually incorporated a little bit of the paintball, yeah, aspect to it. Whereas the girls, it was just all this hideous kind of,
yeah,
overdone, no return mess.
Pinkity purple. It was gross. It, yeah, was, it just looked bad.
But the lingerie challenge was definitely interesting watching the young Blake.
Okay.
24 years old, and he's like, I don't know what female parts look like.
I just wanted to stab him in
24?
The eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He
was very out.
He's very out, but you know what? I know
I'm
out
like,
guys,
you're a designer designing for women.
Like.
Have you not seen,
like,
a female?
Even if you're not into women, you're designing for them. You've seen them get dressed. You know, yeah, they have undergarments on or not when
you're
dressing them.
You're in the fashion industry.
I know, like, industry.
Yeah.
It's like, oh God, I was watching an older episode and one of the little twinks, I don't want to use that word, but man, they have a lot of them on this show. And he's like, I just don't designed for older women. I'm like, okay, Heidi Klum's in her 40s, bucko. Are you going to go out there and tell her you're not going to design for her?
I remember there was one episode where the guy was like, I don't like girls who have breasts. And he was upset because he had a fuller... She wasn't heavy. She had a boob.
The one that you're talking,
yeah,
about.
Yeah.
It was if like, she wasn't a zero, then he wasn't,
yeah,
going to have,
he's
it.
He's like... She's like, really, you're designing for yourself in a dress because you don't like people who've got curves. And he was very straight and flat and... That's all he designed for, just a female version of his own body.
But, yeah, my problems with Project Runway is they keep getting these people who can't sew, don't know how to make a pattern. And I'm like, this is like the 12th, 13th season?
Yeah.
Have you not watched this damn show? Do you not know you're going to sit at a sewing machine and sew something?
Yeah.
And they keep bringing them on there because they need to have that person to
that
make
person
fun of
I don't
and for
know
everybody
how
to hate
sew.
And people don't be like, oh my
and
God.
I can't really blame them because, what, Anya won season 9 and I don't think she sewed one garment at all. She
no.
Draped
she's
fabric talking on
yeah.
people.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they're just, I don't know how to sew. I don't know how to make a pattern. I don't know what lady bits look like.
Well, the beginning of this season where three people show up with no sewing
no
kit.
No kit at all.
I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm like, how do you do that? If you were, like...
They should have eliminated all three of those fuckers right
there. Right there. Yeah. Just, like, kick them off the show. Just be done with it. But, hey, listen, I think we've kind of, like, rambled on our geekery. Maybe we should actually into Superman, Arrow, feeling the testosterone come back again.
Gossip Girl.
Oh, no, wait, wrong thing.
Facts of life.
Take the good, you take the bad. Okay. So, speaking of good, Ernie Hudson's going to be in the Ghostbusters reboot.
Mm.
That man is built. I would just like to go on record saying he has kept up his pectoral muscles in a fine fashion.
You're going to have to Google Ernie Hudson. So,
yeah.
Okay. Very surprised to hear that.
Oh, yes. Oh,
doesn't
yes.
believe in ghosts, does his fucking job.
Dumb anyway. Oh, I love those memes. I love them. So, anyway. all of them. But yeah, no, he, I've seen him talk at Dragon Con. We saw him last year together, and the man has muscles. You know, he doesn't have to buy the athletic cut shirt to make his muscles look big. The shirt goes on him and says thank you because it makes the muscles look big.
You really studied this, huh?
I had time. He was this close to me. I could look at it really good. No, no, but he's a...
That's why you laminated that picture in the shower the other day. I was curious.
A little tear has slipped out of Matt Starr's eyes.
But also, exciting news, Annie Potts is going to be in one of the Ghostbusters reboots, too. And I just loved her as the character actress in that show. So
it was so funny because I posted on Facebook that I'm way too snarky to be a receptionist because part of my job is to actually play a receptionist for an hour. And I'm just not cut out to be that first person you meet when you walk through the door. I'm not. And somebody posted, what, like Annie Potts on Ghostbusters? I'm like, yeah. Surround a dental. What do you want? That's me.
No. But then again, you have to kind of have that attitude if you're going to see what you're going to see back there. But I'm just glad to hear that some of them are going to be on there. And, you know, also happy birthday to Bill Murray this week.
Yes.
Yeah, and he won an Emmy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And missed the Emmy Awards because he went to his son's wedding. So,
Hey, good reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Besides which, he might have licked somebody's face at the Emmys. Yeah, evidently, that's his thing now. So.
Face looking.
Yeah. He did it at an event in Charleston. He showed up at a golf tournament for the local school and was going around licking women's faces. Yes.
What do you think? Henry Cavill was speaking to him, but man, this girl just kept licking my face, and that's where he got it.
What?
Did you just say like, just
over me? Did you see her eyes like literally glaze over?
I said Henry.
She's put on her chapstick like, what are you talking about? I'm zoned out. I'm not even on this planet.
She was thinking about Henry Cavill while putting on her. Oh. Yeah.
Oh. Like, that's not lipstick to her.
So, speaking of Henry Cavill, DC's giving Batman versus Superman and Gotham the finger.
Oh, yeah. So they, so it's really
is
weird.
Is it a literal figure, or is that like an old DC character that they tried to drag
up? The finger! This goes over great on an audio podcast.
Just imagine he's doing like, exactly!
They finally gave credit to the actual co-creator, Bill Finger.
Uh-huh. See, I knew there was a play on words.
Exactly. So,
yes. Okay, so
there so it had been Bob Kane forever. They gave him the credit, and actually, Bill Finger came up with a lot of stuff. Like he came up with the name Gotham. He came up with Bruce Wayne. He came up with all these great names. And
you know how he came up with Gotham, right? Like he was at the deli cart, and they're like, "What do you got? Do you got ham?" And that, no. No. Okay.
I'm sure that's exactly how it happened.
Wow. You guys should have a family pun jar.
Oh, my God.
Always.
We could pay for our vacations that way.
Speaking of paying for stuff, let's take a quick pause so we can play our commercial. Friends, I know a lot of you are into fantasy football, and you are busy. Searching the web and visiting multiple sites to manage your teams, get player status, and weekly projections can be consuming. So you will really need to pay attention to the next three words, Fan Up Network. This new app that you can get for free provides three awesome features that will give you the edge in your leagues. Number one, you will be able to view all your fantasy football teams. Two, you'll get updates and news about players and injuries. And three, you will see advice from fantasy football writers. That's right, everything you need to properly manage your teams in one place for free, the Fan Up Network. Visit fanupnetwork.com now to get the app for free, absolutely free. Join the Fan Up Network today. And we're back! Fantastic!
All right. All right.
That was good.
Yeah.
My heart's in jeopardy, baby.
Why is Jeopardy on our list?
Oh, you did not hear?
Oh, about Turd.
Ferguson?
Turd Ferguson. Mm-hmm.
So you guys have seen that SNL sketch and Turd, you know, was it not? Norm MacDonald plays Burt Reynolds.
Yeah.
From the 70s version, which I love. So somebody was doing horrible at Jeopardy. I think she had $600, and everybody else was in the thousands. So she just went for broke on the last thing and put the ballad, and it was a song, and she put the Ballad of Turd Ferguson, forcing Alex Trebek to repeat it on air. The video is fantastic, and he said it straight face. I was like, wow, I would not be able to keep it together. So it was very cool.
It was very awesome. Yes,
yeah, it was one of those weird moments, like.
It was very
I didn't think it was real at first. I thought it was probably like Funny or Die or Robot Johnson coming out.
I just really want somebody to go, I want anal bum covers for $200. One of these days, somebody is going to say it.
Oh. You, why don't you try
it? I'll just go on Jeopardy.
Get on there. Yeah.
I want anal bum covers for $200.
Don't we all?
Yeah, we do.
So you saw the Turbo Kid?
I did.
What
I
is
saw
that?
A movie called Turbo Kid.
Why? What happened?
It's actually a really cute little film. It's done totally 80s style.
Oh.
The camera work, the music, it's all like Casio keyboard. It's just, it's wonderful.
Okay.
And it's set in a post-apocalyptic world. And it's really nice because there's no gas and water is a premium. So rather than like Mad Max, which I love Mad Max, but everyone drives, you know, gas-guzzling cars in Mad Max. In this movie, everyone rides bicycles because they're easy to maintain and they don't need gas. So you have these guys with like huge weapons and axes and stuff riding these little bicycles, and you know, at the end of a chase scene, they all put their kickstands down and there's like nice little sound effects and really bloody, over-the-top gore. Really,
it's all cutesy and 80s, and there's tons of blood.
And it stars Michael Ironside, who anybody who watched 80s action films knows who Michael Ironside is.
He's on a bike.
He is on a bike.
Oh, really?
Does he have Roddy McDowell's glasses? Roddy Piper's glasses?
No, no. But he's missing an eye, so he's wearing a patch. But
is this
really
in the theater or?
It played as part of the Back Alley Film series.
Oh, me. Okay,
I didn't see it then, but I actually got a copy of it and watched it at home this past weekend. So
wonderful.
Yeah, see it. It's a cute little film. It's really a cute little film with lots of blood pouring everywhere. But I actually really enjoyed it. So
yay. So speaking of things we really enjoyed that aren't around anymore, Tremont Music Hall announced this week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, another cool spot in Charlotte's going away.
Hey, for what? Oh, the exact same apartment building that's on Moorhead and on Independence.
Yeah.
This has become a problem.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. It's like Actors Theater is being replaced by one of those locations. Well, Common Market is
who's
being
living in these?
I don't know.
I don't know who can afford to live in these things.
Are we bringing in that many, like, young upward mobiles that want to live in 500-square-foot, million-dollar condos?
Seriously, like, you know, it's, like, starting in the 400s for the first floor studio level offer.
Yeah, and so no bedroom, and you're going to pay what you pay for four houses. It's just, it's ridiculous, and we're losing all these cool little spots to go
all of the characters. Has anyone started protesting this yet? I'm waiting for people to fill up the parking lot behind Common Market and then the Tremont.
Unfortunately, I think the people who would, you know, protest it the most are the ones that have the least funds to do so, because that's why you go to the Tremont, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just like all the craziness in NoDa with the street closings. How do you expect that, you know, part of town to survive when nobody can go down there to do anything?
It's not going to.
Yeah. But it's part of that evil, vast right-wing conspiracy that Hillary Clinton warned us about, so.
Yeah, but another music scene gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were just there for CleverCon. That was neat. Yeah.
It was hot.
It was hot, but.
But, I mean, all those places, I mean, Milestone doesn't have air conditioning.
Yeah.
That's
Chop
hotter.
Shop doesn't have
but,
air conditioning.
But, you know, if you want to go to an event there, the last event's going to be December 19th, so, you know, if you want to make your mark on the wall or, you know, take some stuff with you.
Are they going to try to relocate?
I don't believe so.
I don't believe so, yeah.
I believe
I
the
know
guy
Actors
just
Theater.
Was like, we were glad we were here for the time. That's what I saw on the TV.
The Actors Theater was trying to relocate.
It's trying to relocate. It's actively searching. And it's not like they didn't know. They've known for a year and a half. But
It's a very unique thing to have to try to relocate. So.
Well, they've torn everything down and built new apartment complexes there, so there's nowhere to relocate. Well,
yeah, that's
you
it.
You run it out of a condo.
Yeah. Well, I was wondering if they might not try to look at Cast Theater space, because, of course, Cast is non-existent anymore, but... You know, there's definitely a fan base for Actors Theater. Actors Theater hosted our first Geek Gala, so special place in our heart. But, yeah. And Common Market, which I never knew where it was, and now I've seen it. And then we went down to see Field at, what is that called?
Oh, the Charlotte Art League.
Yeah. And
right across from
Common. And how long will that survive?
I don't know, but that's really too bad, because that is a great performance space.
Yeah.
That was really neat.
It was really clever. So, other stuff that's going on. What's The Winds of Winter? Somebody tell me.
That is the next book in the Game of Thrones series by George R.R. Martin. And the Spanish publisher of the series has said in an interview that he is absolutely certain that it will be published in Spanish in mid-2016, which means we should get it in early 2016 in English.
Ooh.
But
in winter?
You would think so. You would think he'd take advantage of that.
But no.
But, you know, things like this come out every so often. We heard that in 2014 and 2015. And I bought George R. R. Martin a drink in 2014, and he still wouldn't tell me when the damn book's coming out.
One drink is not enough.
No, obviously not. And then I sat there and wondered, why am I buying you a drink?
Because that's what we do.
So people who can read Spanish are an advantage.
If that's true. The publisher is certain, but we get it before the Spanish publisher does. So, fingers crossed, early 2016 for Winds of Winter.
That would be good. One thing that was released is the Allegiant trailer.
Is this the last one, or did they split this into two?
I'm sure they split it into two.
Yeah.
Why don't they split everything into two now?
I think so. They milk it.
Make some more money.
This trilogy is now four.
Yeah, four. It's just like The Hobbit. The movies together were longer than it would take you to
read the book. Yeah, I know.
No, The Hobbit was not a trilogy. It was one book.
Well, I know that, but the movie was a trilogy.
Well, yeah, because it should have been a one book movie, and it went into three. We're done.
I'm not going to argue how many hours I get of Martin Freeman.
Well.
I'll take 10 hours of Martin Freeman, damn it.
Alrighty then. So Planet of the Apes cast a villain. It was Tiffany, wasn't it? Because she didn't know
who it was.
Woody Harrelson.
Oh, Woody Harrelson.
And Tiffany.
Tiffany's like, I'm just looking at my phone because I don't know what you people are talking about. That's not English.
No, ma'am. I'm looking at my phone because I keep getting texts from work.
Oh, no. Thank you.
And I just had a heart attack because something was spelled wrong. And I'm like, I know I spelled it right. So I had to like go back in my email.
I did spell it right.
I often do spell things wrong. But this time, I didn't.
Right.
So you forgot to put the space between pen and is, didn't you?
So Woody Harrelson is the bad guy. Is this going to be called Planet of the Apes?
This one, I think, finally is going to be called Planet of the Apes, because what has it been before? Like before
Rise of the Rise. Planet of the Apes and Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
It'll be Fear the Planet of the Apes, and they'll bring
zombie apes,
Junkie Depp into it.
As long as they have Andy Serkis doing the ape, I'll watch it.
You know he'll have to do that, yes.
I think they should have Chris Kattan doing the ape.
Oh, God.
Mango.
Mango the monkey boy. Okay, Chewbacca, speaking of furry creatures, Chewbacca to get his own comic book miniseries.
I'm excited about this.
Is this
awesome.
Going to have his family from the holiday special in it?
No. Oh. That might be the director's cut of the miniseries, yeah.
Because, you know,
comic books do director's cut.
The Arthur cannot be on this episode.
Neither can Harvey Korman.
That'll be the variant cover. It'll be him and the family.
So, no, please leave his family in that.
Yeah.
That horrible, so you're going to review special. That for us, though, right?
I am, yeah. So myself and Davey from...
David Beauchamp
from...
otherwise known as the Cows of Gallifrey.
Radio. We're going to do a spinoff podcast. It's called The Force, Guardians of the Geekery, The Force. And it'll just be 5 or 10 minutes, and it'll just deal with Marvel... Star Wars comics, and that's it. So, yeah.
I'm just kidding. Well, if they're going to do something, us girls need to get together and do something on our own.
Dancing
not Gilmore Girls.
Sorry. Needs to be like Jane Austen or something.
Tiffles is bad.
Oh, my God.
Tiffles is bad.
We can review the different variations of Jane Eyre.
Just as long as I don't have to do Supergirl, I'll be fine. So.
Oh, my God.
All right. So, speaking of The Spy Who Loved Me, Idris Elba?
Is James Bond in what is a Vulture mashup?
Some kind of website. I found this, and it was, but they did a great job. They did this mashup remix from all of his movies and TV shows and made a James Bond little narrative, and it proves he can do it.
Well,
just
mean,
with existing footage.
They know he can do it.
You know who would be a really bad James Bond?
Woody Harrelson.
Martin Freeman.
that would be a terrible.
No, would be amazing.
However, he would be
Henry Cavill.
No way.
However, Martin Freeman would make an excellent Q.
What?
What?
Martin Freeman would make an excellent Q.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah, you're right. He would. I think so. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Geek maybe we could get all of our like beat off men in the movie.
So
beat off men. I have not
Henry
heard
Cavill could be Bond. Idris Elba could be like M. Martin Freeman could be Q.
Martin Freeman should be M because Martin.
I want Scott Foley from Felicity in there too.
Let's find a little spot for him.
He can be victim number one.
Oh my
gosh. Oh my gosh. Okay. So, you know what's coming up soon?
My birthday?
Premiere of The Walking Dead? Halloween?
Geek Gala.
You're right!
Yes! What do I win?
You get to go.
Oh, great. Yes, that's awesome.
You were already going because you have to help build the set. Yeah. So, Geek Gala, October 24th. If you haven't bought your ticket yet, you need to buy it before September 26th or you will not get your free t-shirt.
Free t-shirt.
Yeah, we know y'all need clothes because some of you guys don't bathe. So, make sure you get your free t-shirt. It will be in a color. And, not black. So, you know, brighten up your wardrobe.
With some color.
But you can go to geekgala.com. We have announced the headliners. They include some gothic wolves, some funny robots, and some nerdy dancers that may or may not take off most of their clothes. So
why am I missing this one?
I don't understand.
Priorities are just not
nerdy. His field is the worst. That's
officiating a wedding.
I know. So. He's officiating mine, so I better not.
Yeah, you can't.
Oh,
don't
wait, there's another one. I can skip this one and just go yours.
Exactly.
Still see it.
It'll be the same
thing. Forget it. I'm coming to this.
Yes, you know, sometimes the family has to go and support, you know, and you have to split. So, you guys come to the Geek Gala and you can represent us there.
We can separately represent.
Yeah, no, but definitely come hang out. Valentine Wolf will be there, so will Robot Johnson in part, if not the whole. And then, of course, Nerdvana is coming down to do a geeky burlesque show. So, going to be very cool. And we got some cool prizes in there. So, you definitely want to come check it out. GeekGala.com. And you're doing a belly dance, right?
Yes, I am. I'm going to
you? No, yeah, you said on air.
Well, that was if I could take the lessons.
I don't care. That's not my problem.
Shit. Damn it.
I have
a fire then.
I will have my torches with me.
And we are accepting applications for the talent show where you could win $150 cash.
Mm. And I don't breathe fire edicts.
Yes, she
Tiffany
does.
Is going to skip this
she
wedding.
And,
how do you smell about foul-mouthed puppets?
We love
foul-mouthed puppets.
She actually does.
They're made
really
of socks.
Foul-mouthed.
Oh, my gosh.
All
yes.
The better.
That's another podcast we should have.
Yes.
Yeah. Awesome.
Foul mouth sock puppets, the podcast.
Yes, we'll make that one a video podcast probably.
So is it time?
Yeah. Are we gonna do the one little bummer thing real quick, or
no,
or after?
We can do that at the end.
Okay. Good.
Yeah. Let's go into something fun
time.
And exciting.
Let's do that.
So speaking of the Geek Gala, we actually did that flash fiction writing contest where they had 24 hours to write a short story.
Okay.
We gave them the theme of writing from the monster's point of view. And last week, John Hartness did us the great service of reading aloud the first place winner, which was Breakfast by Bruce Mulford. And this week, Lucy is going to read for us the second place winner called Fine Dining, and that's by James McDonald. Wow, I did it. Okay.
Good job.
So without further ado.
They had been easy enough to find since they were staying in the expensive hotel across from her shop in the market. When they passed through, the woman's snippy comments were aimed at both her companion as well as Boo herself, accentuated as she flashed fingers barely able to support the gemstones mounted in gold upon them. He followed up with a crude attempt to solicit her charms after his woman stormed away. She knew then her evening was booked. She watched from her shop window as the couple consumed a meal that cost more than she would make in a week. The cold silence between them did little to chill the sweltering summer evening. Charleston was especially humid this time of year. She leaned out of her apartment window, her hunger growing as the couple argued in their room, the barbs they exchanged splintering into the night air through the open French doors. The spat ended with the man downstairs in the small bar and the woman resting against the rail in the shallow balcony. She found him bending the inattentive bartender's ear. His smile was predatory as he offered her the seat next to him. It took a few minutes before he was sweating heavily as he fumbled for words and pawed at her sensual caramel skin. She took his sticky hand in hers and purred, "Boo will take care of you." He stammered and panted as she led him into the small apartment above her shop. Her lips brushed his. He stripped quickly before she pushed him onto the worn couch, straddling him in the process. He grabbed at her shirt, sending two buttons hurtling into the dark. In her smoky voice, she whispered in his ear, "Do you want the rest of Boo?" The corners of his mouth curled as he nodded hungrily. She locked lips with him and inhaled. His excited groping turned into panic clawing and punching, but only for a moment as he felt the ambrosia of her kiss drawing away his life force. Blood trickled as his trembling hands clenched into fists. His gasps and moans turned to desperate, shallow wheezing. His eyes froze wide as saucers and reddened as blood vessels burst painfully but quietly. She climbed off of him, knowing her prey was going nowhere. He was drained to the edge of life but still conscious. His eyes locked onto hers as she peeled away the last shreds of clothing he hadn't destroyed. She leaned over and whispered in his ear, "Boo said she was going to take good care of you, and now she is." She stood inches in front of him. Her fingernail slowly chased a rolling bead of sweat from her throat to her navel. A thin red trail formed as it traced around her hips and down to her ankles. He managed a single whimper as she tugged and pulled at her skin, starting at her thighs as if they were stockings. Her head came free of the meat suit last before she draped it around his shoulders. She gloried at the sight of her true body in the full-length mirror. The red muscle glistened in the dim light streaming through the windows. Blood streaked across his skin as she slid herself back onto him. "How do you like Boo now?" She locked her lips onto his and drew his last breath into herself. It was always so much more savory with the adrenaline flavoring and the sweetness of dread and the dismay of certain death. He shuddered and she leaned back to see the last ember extinguished behind his eyes. Ever so gently, she used her talon until she was able to free the worthless meat from the shell. She wouldn't need the outfit for long. It took a little work to bulk up to fill his skin, a few whispers of the old language to heal the wounds, a little bleach for the errant drops of blood that reached his shirt. She buckled the loose-fitting pants around her waist and dug into the pockets. His license said he was from Chicago. She would have sworn the accent was from New York. No matter. She sauntered lazily back to the hotel, the new skin exquisitely gliding as it stretched across her taut muscles, trying to find purchase. Her hunger barely sated, she slowly slid the key card into the lock. The woman's voice was shrill and accusatory as she opened the doorway. Wordlessly, she embraced the woman in a kiss. Glorious silence fell from her prey, who instantly became compliant. This one wasn't like the man. She was full of life, tasting of desire and indulgence. She was meant to be cherished. Boo would be able to wallow in the woman's spirit for hours before taking the last drop. The woman's eyes danced lazily and rolled back into her head as she was stripped and laying in the bed. She didn't notice the meat suit sliding around as the man's clothes fell to the floor. She nibbled on the woman's ear and mumbled, "Boo will take care of you." She locked her lips around the woman's. She was getting drunk on her prey's energy. She enjoyed the thought of being a blonde again for a while. No need to decide yet. She had plenty of time.
Ooh. Yay! And again, that sultry. Was, I know, sultry and yet horrific at the same time.
Now that I stack up to John Hartness is what I
mean. Oh, well, you know, he had this whole rhymey thing going on. Yeah. I think you had the right timber of the voice.
Mine was like a little cold, too. That's why I knew I had to go back and correct it.
I realized the whole story of John McDonald. James McDonald.
But you'll be able to read a full copy of that on the website, and you can hear it again and again with the help of this podcast. So thank you so much, Lucy, for reading that.
Good job.
Yeah, so...
It's that time again.
Yeah.
Say goodbye.
Somebody passed away.
That's true.
Little Jimmy Olsen from the 50s Superman TV show.
Was this the George Reeve?
Yes.
Superman?
Yeah. Okay. And it was Jack Larson was the actor's name. And I guess he went on to become a really pretty good playwright. So
huge playwright. Yeah. You know, a very, very notable behind the scenes person in his own right. But, you know, those of us who remember would know him. Not that I was around then, but...
And then they pulled him out for... he did a cameo in Superman Returns with...
Yes.
Brandon Root. Yeah, he was the bartender, so...
This was before he died. They didn't pull him out of the coffin.
Yeah, he just died this week, so let's not...
What?
You pulled him out.
Pulled him out of the meat suit.
Oh my God.
Went around on his skin, yes. Yeah, so if you're looking for a little bit more, you know, murder, make sure you check out Murder for Fools. Mm-hmm. Robot Johnson's.
Oh, Murder of.
Murder of.
Like instead of crows.
Yes. Murder of Fools. Okay.
And check out Tiffany's one woman play, Beat Off Men, I believe it's called.
Yes.
Coming to Cinemax, West Coast, Latino, After Hours. Okay. We're looking forward to that for sure.
It's on the BBC, so goddammit.
Oh, no, you're like, it's not on the list. It's not on the list. I'm like, right.
This is not on the list. We have a list. It's not on it. No.
Oh, my gosh.
No.
Oh.
So, well, thank you guys. And, thank you for your hard work on Outcast. We look forward to that in the future.
Yes.
And thank you for not misspelling the thing on your thing on your phone. So
you're really going to notice it.
Are you?
You're not. No. You're never going to notice it, even if it stayed.
Well, thank you guys. You have survived.
Thank you for having us.
It's absolutely, absolutely. And
real quick, where can they find your stuff, Lucy, Tiffany? RobotJohnson.com?
Oh, RobotJohnson.com.
Yeah.
I took a wild guess.
Facebook page, RobotJohnson, and then I always get one of them wrong. It's
okay.
The one of them is Robot Johnson Comedy, whether it's the Instagram or the Twitter, and I can't remember.
Well,
it makes me a terrible person.
No.
So just look at the website.
Yeah, you may want to go to Facebook first because the website hasn't been updated in a little bit.
We're working on that.
I know.
Yeah, go to, yes. Actually, yes, because we're talking about, we're changing the website up completely.
Oh.
We're going to have a relaunch of it at the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. And it's going to have a bunch of different features on it, and we're not going to be a bunch of assholes that make Graham do everything.
That's awesome. Yay.
So, wait for that, you guys. Just go to Facebook.
Yeah, but in the meantime, you know, make sure to come and see parts of them. We won't tell you which parts at Geek Out.
Yay.
So Lucy Wilson, Tiffany Apple, you have survived.
Yay.
And with that, we bid you adieu.
Adieu. Goodbye, everyone.
Thank you for listening to Guardians of the Geekery. For more information, go to guardiansofthegeekery.com. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/guardiansofthegeekery and on Twitter at CLTGOG. Music used by Guardians of the Geekery, Lock and Load, and A Day in the Sun by Jens Kilstofta. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International.